The drug was actually originally used for control of blood pressure and heart rate way, way back when. But more recently, I might as well give you the bit of the story about how it all developed. More recently, it has been used for test anxiety and performance anxiety, which I found to be very interesting. We did a study, and which we took people without a history of susceptibility to anxiety, specifically excluded people with anxiety problems, and gave them a well-studied task in which they are supposed to speak in front of a crowd of panelists that are instructed to look serious. And then we would interrupt them and have them do some verbal problem-solving tasks. And when they performed this task under the stress conditions, they performed worse on the task. However, without the stressor, they performed better. Interestingly, we also gave them this drug, propranolol. It blocks the beta norepinephrine receptors in the brain. And that reversed the impact of stress. So basically, if we gave them propranolol before we stressed them, they performed as if there was no stress. And these are healthy individuals without autism. But we suspected this had to do with the signal-to-noise ratio of processing of information in the brain. Now, autism has a bit of a rigid circuitry, as is suggested by a whole lot of studies, but in particular brain imaging studies, suggest that distant brain regions do not communicate as efficiently in autism as they do in people without autism. And we wanted to, and because people had, there was a case series, somebody had described a handful of patients and said he gave them propranolol and said they did better. So it was not a controlled study at all, but it was interesting because he said they got better. Because of that and because of the other line of work we were doing, we wanted to give this a try in autism, partly because that's I see patients with autism myself. And lo and behold, that's what we found, so that we reported. A couple years ago, we reported an improvement in a verbal problem-solving task, just like we had used in our stress studies. And our most recent study, we showed that they also improve in word fluency. So when you ask how many animals can you think of, they actually do a bit better with propranolol than with placebo, and it was a blinded study. And so we can feel fairly confident in that result.
Dr. Beversdorf, what were the age range of the patients that you tried this on?
The average, let me pull up the paper here so I can refresh myself. I believe the minimum cutoff was 14 or 15, but basically older adolescents and young adults.
Okay, so this is not a drug for children.
We don't know yet. We studied that population because, A, that's the population I see. I'm an adult neurologist. And, B, it's easier to do a study in that setting. And we'd really want to be sure that it is helpful in general before we'd want to look in children. But we have not yet.
And you said this is a beta blocker, that it's used in to reduce stress in high blood pressure and heart patients. What are some other drugs that would be similar that I might be familiar with?
Oh, this is called Inderol. That's the trade name. You may have heard of that. No?
I have not. I have not. I mean, I know that there is a lot of information out there right now with treating ADHD with antipsychotics, which seems a little strange. And I mean, there's sort of this drug crossover. So I'm just that we're seeing
right.
a lot in the psychology and psychiatry industry.
Well, here one thing I can say about this drug is that it is available in the generic form. So there may be a significant profit motive for some of the other things you're saying. There is no profit motive for this.
Gotcha.
So, and that's a good thing, because if it actually plays out that this is a significantly beneficial drug. We have 50 years, I believe, of history of knowing its safety profile, and people will be able to afford it.
What does this actually do to the brain, and what could one assume that it does for autistic patients? I mean, is it, and I have friends with autistic children who, mm-hmm. who do have speech problems.
Is this something that is like reducing stress? Sorry?
Is this to say that it might just be a matter of reducing stress in these patients, or is it actually doing something to part of the language, part of their brain?
Well, that's actually a really good question that we don't yet know the complete answer to. We're beginning to look into that because, yes, it seems to help. Is this just that they are so stressed and that this is like giving somebody with performance anxiety the drug to help them? We don't know the answer to that yet, but nonetheless, it did seem to improve them on the average. We have a grant. The original study here was funded by a Thompson Foundation pilot grant, and we have a grant from HRSA that is now looking into seeing if we can predict who responds based upon physiological markers of greater stress, and see if that predicts who's going to respond better to this drug, and also look at brain imaging markers. Because we have some pilot data that suggests that it does actually improve that interaction between distant brain regions that I talked to you about earlier. So we think that it affects the interaction between distant brain regions because of its effect on the signal-to-noise ratio in the brain, although we can't be sure it's just an anxiolytic effect, an anxiety-blocking effect, not yet at this point.
Signal to noise ratio, what does that mean?
I'll give an example. When you see a tiger, we've been evolutionarily trained, if you will, or selected to be able to respond very quickly and decisively, either chuck the spear or run like heck. That has been our survival mechanism for thousands of years, if not obviously more, because probably all animals have this to some degree. So if we see that tiger, that's definitely the best thing that can happen. Unfortunately, nowadays, our biggest stressor is taking a test and giving a talk. So, whereas certainly helpful for us to get out of caveman days, to be able to, when we see a threat, to quickly respond because we wouldn't do very well if we were able to sit there and calmly go, oh, what are the possibilities here? I guess I could go over here and try to hide in a cave. We had to survive, and unfortunately that mechanism doesn't work in the same way now. And when we take an exam or give a speech, it's much more beneficial for us to maintain our cool and think of all the alternatives while we're going. And that's basically what I mean by signal-to-noise ratio, is the signal becomes very, very, very strong, and all the other alternatives become squelched under stress. And with propranolol, it reverses that effect. That makes sense?
It does. So you're saying that instead of a fight-or-flight response, which, of course, your heart rate increases and all of these physiological responses, that it lessens that so that you can actually go through several options instead of just those two?
So it doesn't squelch the more remote options.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I think is going on.
And whenever you say that it seems to improve language, social function, are you talking about improving language as far as improving the way you interact with someone, or are you talking about the actual ability to speak?
Well, what we did was, all we could speak to is the results of what we found thus far. So we can say that it improved verbal problem solving and it improved their ability to come up with words from a specific category. We would need a clinical trial to look to see if it improves functional language. We don't know if maybe the beneficial effect on language would be offset by something else it might do, maybe make them tired. We need to do a clinical trial in order to sort that out. As far as social function, there are two bases for my comment. One is the original paper from 30 years ago, 25 years ago, just commented that the social function was better, that uncontrolled thing where they tracked a few patients. But we have actually used this and done a study looking at eye contact, and it seems to be improving that as well, which is, of course, an index of social interaction.
Okay, and so you talked about there would need to be a need for clinical trials in order to take this further. Is that in your plans?
I have applied for a grant for it, and I'm waiting on the results.
And that typically happens pretty quickly?
Well, I'm supposed to hear about it this month, so
okay.
I hope so.
Okay.
But funding is tight these days, which is why I'm very grateful to HRSA for funding our current work.
Yes, it is. And typically, how long do these clinical trials last?
It varies widely. Let me pull it up because, well, I haven't looked at that in 7 months because of back when I submitted it. This one, it's probably a couple of years. Let's see, budget justification. All right, that's not going to tell me. Full proposal. Drag myself to the end of the full proposal. Maybe a timeline. 3 years is the schedule for the trial.
Is that fairly typical in drug testing?
Yes.
About 3 years?
Yeah, in that range.